I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A hearty welcome to each and every one of you this morning. If there are guests in their midst, may you also feel the love of God and you're welcome. And the Lord has blessed us with a nice sunshiny day, and we just want to thank him for that. But before we continue with our service, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day of life here on earth. We thank you for the nature around us. You are a wonderful God, full of grace and mercy. We praise you for allowing us to spend another morning together. We pray that you would give us the strength to be strong for you in this world. You know the struggles we all face. Carry us when we are weak, and when we stumble, forgive us, Father. Remind us that we praise and honor you through all this, and we thank you for the provisions you have given us, and may we be content with what you have given us. And Lord, guide us in sharing our blessings with those that are in need. We pray for the war-torn countries where your provisions are destroyed. We pray for those that have to suffer through all this. We also pray for those that are a cause to all of it. May their hearts be turned to peace. And may your word be multiplied here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your red hymnal and turn to number 309. Take the name of Jesus with you. 309.
I was once far away from the Savior. 170.
I was once far away from the Savior, and as vile as a sinner could be. And I wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a poor sinner like me. I wandered alone in the darkness, not a ray of light could I see. And the thought filled my heart with sadness, there's no help for a sinner like me. And then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice sweetly whispered to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner like thee. I listened and lo, 'twas the Savior who was speaking so kindly to me. I cried on the chief of all sinners, oh, save a poor sinner like me. I then fully trusted in Jesus, and oh, what a joy came to me. Sinner like me, no longer in darkness I'm walking, for the light is now shining on me, and now unto others I'm telling how He saved a poor sinner like me. And when life's journey is over, and I the dear Savior shall see, I'll praise Him forever and ever for saving a sinner like me.
Have you ever thought about that phrase that's very often said, we love Him because He loved us? What does that actually mean? That means that God loved us while we were yet sinners. And we love Him because of what He has done for us, dying on the cross for our sins. This text this morning, I want to take out of Romans chapter 6. First of all, verse 12 to 14. It says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And then also going to verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When we have laid aside our old life, we have been born again through Jesus Christ, We are free. We are not in bonds anymore. Free from what? We are free from Satan and all the things that Satan throws our way. And furthermore, the writer says we are not to allow sin to reign in our lives anymore. No, we now have the power in us to help overcome this sin. And this happened on the cross of Golgotha when Jesus died for our sins. The power against sin is available to us. And the question is, will we use this power that is in us to ward off sin? Now, Jesus has done his part, but the rest is up to us. Yes, we need to work together with Jesus against Satan. Going back to our text in verse 13, it says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." In other words, we can have a choice here. You want to yield yourself unto Satan or yield yourself unto God? And he says, those that yield unto God are alive. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Then we want to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And this is where we very often fall short. We have a hard time submitting ourselves to God. Submitting is against our human nature. We gladly want to receive the grace, but we do not want to live a fully committed, submissive life. When we live, or when we have fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we then need to become more Christ-like, live a life that is more like Christ. We cannot live both in the light and in darkness. In Romans 6, going back to Romans 6, 14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now, the first reason that sin does not have the upper hand over us anymore is that we have done away with that old life. We have been born again. We have been born again with the help of Jesus Christ. We have accepted Christ, and we have accepted what he has done for us. And we are not under the law, but under grace. Yes, the law tells us what is wrong, but the law doesn't have the power to correct us for that. We have the Holy Spirit in us that gives us this power to resist Satan. And because of our love for Christ, we will refrain from sin. Now, does that always work out that way in our life? I think we will all admit it does not always work out that way. We are an imperfect people who come short of what we should be. But let us not judge others, but rather look at ourselves, the life that we are living. Now, there is a lot one could say about our relationship with Jesus. In Romans, the writer says, don't let sin reign in your heart. In other words, don't allow sin or Satan to be your master. And let us not forget about the story about Ahab, where he allowed sin to come into his life, and he did not correct that. As a matter of fact, he fed that sin. And what did it do? It had consequences that led to his death. In the story of King Ahab, it's very clear who his master is. One sin led to the next until he had what he wanted. His conscience did not stop him. Jezebel, his wife, didn't help matters either. It says she was more evil than he was. But King Ahab, he had a neighbor. He had a neighbor, Naboth. And Naboth had a garden. Must have been a beautiful garden. And King Ahab wanted this garden. It touched his property, so he also wanted that. And so he offered to buy it from his neighbor. And I'm sure he offered him a fair price. But his neighbor, Naboth, refused to sell it to him. Did he refuse to sell it to him because the price maybe wasn't right? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, he didn't sell it because it was his inheritance, and God did not want him to sell it. But King Ahab's wife Jezebel, she had a plan. She would have the neighbor killed. She would get two men to be false witnesses. These false witnesses would claim that Naboth had blasphemed God and King. Now, King Ahab, he didn't need Naboth's garden. He was a rich king. He could have bought anything he wanted anywhere else. But this was exactly what he wanted. He was jealous of this piece of garden. He was jealous that he didn't have it and that a neighbor wasn't going to sell it to him. But the 10th commandment says, we are not to covet what is our neighbor's. Let us be thankful for what we have. And the 9th commandment says, do not bear false witness. King Ahab's wife, she got false witnesses to go against his neighbor. Yes, Jezebel knew that she would have to have something against Naboth, to have him killed. So she did appoint two men to be false witnesses to say that Naboth had broken the law. Yes, she made it look like Naboth was the guilty party in this. But who was a guilty party? So with false witnesses and lies, they acquired what was that which was not theirs. But let us learn a lesson from this story. God wants us to be truthful. Lies will be punished. Now in King Ahab and his wife's eyes, Everything had gone according to plan. But God knew what had happened. God could see into their hearts. And as Ahab went into this new garden that he had now, he met up with the prophet Elijah. And Elijah told him that he had sold himself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. And that isn't all what the prophet told him. The prophet also told the king that he would be destroyed and that his wife Jezebel would be thrown out and be eaten by dogs. A sad ending for a king and a queen. Sin had destroyed their life. They allowed themselves to be led by this evil spirit. The scripture has many examples of those that fell to sin. They all had a choice. We also read that before the flood, God was actually sorry that he had made mankind, provided everything for them, and it went against him. In the world today that we live in is no different. For Satan's goal is to lead as many astray as he can. Yes, this all started back in the Garden of Eden, and from then on, everyone has fallen short of God's standards. Satan is always at work. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Yes, the world seems to be preparing itself to be able to survive without Jesus. And going on in Peter, verse 10 and 11, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God is reminding us, yes, we have to live in this world. There is evil in this world. But if we will stay steadfast in our faith, there is a time when we will be rewarded. We are not to surrender to Satan. He gives us the idea that no one has more trouble than we do. But God is always there to help us against the wiles of the devil. Now, God's dealings with us are not based on what we deserve, but rather they are based on his great love for us. Yes, God has called us to his eternal glory, and that allows us to look beyond the sufferings and the things that we go through in this world. It allows us to bring the future into the present, the future of life in heaven, at the time when we shall be with him and like him forever. Yes, our problems, our walk here on earth is only a short time. In James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's a simple recipe, isn't that? When Satan is poking us. He says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's the God that we have. It's not a God that is there and tells us we're supposed to come to him out there when we have problems. It says he will meet us. He cares for us. But the devil knows he has but a short time. And we all have to admit we have come short of God's expectations quite often. 1 John 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, the grace of God forgives our sin. The grace of God gives us the power to live right. So let us allow the Spirit of God to lead our lives. The Spirit of God will lead us into everlasting life. Yes, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel did not build on a good foundation. They built on self. They wanted something that was not theirs. But let us build on that solid foundation that we find in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, let us build our personal foundation or our personal life on this foundation. Let us as a church build on this solid foundation. Yes, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we want to do this for him. For the one that has done so much for us, the one that died for our sins, the one that arose from the grave to give us an example that the grave cannot hold us, the one that sent us the Holy Spirit, the one that prepared a place for us in heaven and promised us that he would come and receive us where he was. Yes, and he can come anytime. He is very clear on that. He says he doesn't even know when he will be returning to receive his church. But the Father in heaven knows. And when he comes, may he find us being true and faithful to him. Amen. Before we go over to the second portion of our message this morning, I want to give you all the opportunity, whoever is able, to go on bended knee and pray for whatever lies on your heart. And so let us all kneel and pray prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
So take your blue hymnal and turn to number 250. I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. 250. Yeah, for those that are able, let's stand.
don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every bird is getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no dear dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't see, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
When I have my message, the first part here, I saw that Reverend and Mrs. Bickert were here from Saskatchewan. Welcome. They snuck in. Had I known this, maybe you could have brought us a message. But welcome anyway. Now, the world is full of people that are looking for fulfillment, for purpose, for peace, for joy. And there's only one place where that can be found. We see that people are trying to find it in many different ways, especially now in the East. Trying to find peace with war has never happened. There's only one place where it can be found, and that is in God through Jesus Christ. But in Romans it says, no man seeks after God. There's a lot of people want a more satisfying life, a more fulfilling life. They even want heaven, but it must all be done on their terms. They would say that they are seeking heaven, that they are seeking God. That is why they are religious, but only on the outside. But even by their confession, many will claim to be Christians. But truthfully speaking, they are not. We have a good example of this in Scripture. It's when a young man meets Jesus. This is an encounter that is so important that it is recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And today we will be looking at Mark, starting with Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, this is not a story in the Bible. It is an actual account, actual encounter that happened. It teaches us that the proud and the selfish, no matter how much they may say that they want eternal life, are not prepared to receive it. Yes, this man, young man, failed the greatest test of his life. He was offered a choice. Even he asked, and he was offered a choice, and the choice between himself and God. The choice between fulfillment now or fulfillment in the life to come. The question that he had to answer for himself was, what is most valuable to him? God and the life to come, or his own will and present life? It is a very brief story, but the bottom line was that this young man, he wanted eternal life. He wanted eternal life, but he did not want to give up his pride and his possessions. He never questioned what Jesus said. He just walked away. Here was a young man. One could say he had it made. He was young and rich. He was an honest man. So he had gained his wealth honestly. He was a ruler in the synagogue, which meant that he was respected spiritually. Yet this young man felt there was something missing in his life. There was an emptiness that he could not understand. And he was afraid. He was lacking that which he needed most for eternal life. Yes, he runs to Jesus, the one that the religious establishment had rejected. And he humbly bows before Jesus. This young man came with the right attitude. He came to the right person. And he asked the most important question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Because he was afraid he did not have this relationship with God that would give him eternal life in heaven. He calls Jesus a good master. But Jesus asks him, why do you call me good? He tells him, no one is good but God. Well, we would say, you and God are the same. You are one. You're both good. And that is the lesson what Jesus wanted to teach this young man. This young man's teaching didn't allow him to understand that God and Jesus were one, that Jesus was God's son. In his mind, Jesus was a great teacher sent from God. Now, if someone asks us, what must I do to inherit eternal life in heaven? What would our answer be? To accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But that is not what Jesus told this young man. Yes, faith needs to be there. But there was something in this young man's heart that had to be dealt with first. This young man thought that he was good. And Jesus knew this young man's heart. So he gave this young man the opportunity to cleanse his heart. He gave him the opportunity to repent. Then he says to him, do you know the Ten Commandments? And this young man says, yes. I've kept them. I've kept them from my youth, he says. He thought he was very good. But Saul, Paul says different in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is how Apostle Paul describes those that don't have God. This young man thought that he could have eternal life on his own merits. He did not understand the depths of the law. It is not just the physical obeying of the law. They go much deeper. They involve the thought life. Yes, if you hate someone, the Bible says you have murder in your heart. If you commit adultery in your heart, or if ideas of adultery, you commit lust in your heart, you commit adultery. Now, no one always lives with a pure conscience or pure thoughts. Satan throws these impure thoughts into our minds, but we need to deal with them. Not like King Jezebel, he just multiplied them. But this young man claimed he had not sinned. He lived a life of obedience. But Jesus wanted him to see the error of his ways. Yes, Jesus wanted him to repent in order for him to receive eternal life. Yes, there needs to be repentance of that old life. And if the old life continues, then the heart is not ready for eternal life. Yes, Jesus tells him to sell everything that he has, give to the poor and follow him. And if we think being good brings us eternal life, we are mistaken. There has to be total submission. And when he hears this from Jesus, he is saddened because he owned much. He had another god. His possessions was his idol. But God says, he's very clear, you can't have no other gods beside me. And when this young man heard this, he walked away grieving. Now, did Jesus miss an opportunity here by just allowing him to walk away? No, he didn't. Jesus knew this man, young man's heart. He thought himself as good. But we also have to come to that point that we realize out of ourselves we are not good. We have to admit that we are sinners that can be saved by God's grace. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, when we look at the story of Nicodemus, it had quite a different outcome. Yes, Nicodemus also came to Jesus and asked him what he must do. And Jesus says, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Yes, Jesus also tells us Nicodemus what he must do. Does Nicodemus walk away from Jesus like this young man did? No. Nicodemus allowed the seed to be planted in him, and it grew. When the chief priests and the scribes wanted to condemn Jesus, Nicodemus defends Jesus and asks, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he has done? And later, Nicodemus helped Joseph bury Jesus. Yes, Nicodemus, he saw the error of his ways. He repented and accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. So we can see the offer is still out there for us. The offer is there for everyone. But the choice is up to each individual. Now, Jesus did not force this young ruler to accept him as his personal Savior. Jesus did not force Nicodemus. But Jesus laid it out for them very clearly. He laid it out for them in the most inviting way. Then he left the decision up to them. Jesus has also laid the plan of salvation out to us very clearly. And Jesus is not going to force any of us to make a decision. Oh, God does not want the death of a sinner. There will be different things happening in our lives just so that we will accept him. We hear that very often. But we have to make that decision on our own. Do we want eternal life in heaven? And there is only one way. Jesus is very clear. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. So friends, brothers, sisters, you have made that decision. And it says, angels in heaven rejoice over every sinner that comes to Jesus. So all of you that have accepted Christ can personally thank him, and also you know that the angels in heaven have been rejoicing, and I'm sure they are still rejoicing to this very day. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Lord, we ask that you help us understand what you have taught us this morning, and through your Spirit, fulfill your teaching. Help us to work together and encourage each other to further God's kingdom. We pray for the well-being of our congregation during the week, not only protecting them physically, but we also pray that their minds and thoughts will be protected from Satan's attempts to hinder their fellowship with God and try to lead them into a sinful lifestyle. We also pray for the sick, those that are struggling with their spiritual life. May you bring healing. Be with the lonely, the widows and widowers. May they find fulfillment and comfort in you. And as we leave this morning, may we recognize you are the God of all wisdom, and you are the one that will lead us forward to that eternal home. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so, whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer, pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take the blue book and turn to number 345, Hold the Fort. 345.
Trumpet blow in our leaders. diagnosed. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Fears and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for bringing us the message this morning. Also, thank you for the song leaders and pianists for leading us this morning. Just a few announcements. Men's breakfast is coming up this coming Saturday, March 21st at 9 a.m. in our church dining hall. So all men and young men, youth, and boys are welcome to come join us for breakfast. And then just to take note, to put in your calendars, we have events coming up. We are coming, come and join us for the Passion Week services planned Wednesday, April 1st to Thursday, and April 1st or 2nd, which is Thursday, starting at 7 p.m. in a church here. And then we have the All Youth Easter Program, which is in McGregor, that is coming up this next Sunday, March 22nd at 3 p.m., and everyone is welcome. And then also to mark your calendar, you are invited to the 2026 Manitoba Zummerfeld Mennonite Conference. That conference is going to be April 17th and 18th, and that's going to be here in this church. So just a note to put in your calendars. That is it. Thank you, and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you, Brother Henry, for those announcements. I also want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.